that you're gonna regret.
But if you wanna stay in shape,
well, you better hit that.
Chimwits, Chimwits.
That's right, man.
Welcome to the Chimwits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Chimwits. So, Justin, what do you have on tap for today?
Well, keeping with our Olympic theme, I wanted to talk about the sacrifices that Olympic athletes make. We're all watching the Olympics and enjoying it and marveling at what they do. And then they'll disappear and come back 4 years later or 2 years if you like to watch the Winter Olympics. Mm-hmm. And we forget that these people have lives. They're human beings. They have to work. They have families, friends, social lives, hobbies. I never even thought about that up until recently. It just seems like these amazing athletes appear. Sometimes you see them in Olympics. Some of them you just never see again. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the sacrifices that these athletes make and that we are enjoying, that not only do we get to enjoy and marvel at, but that people and companies make a lot of money off of. Mm-hmm. So I just want to ask you, what do you think are some of the sacrifices that Olympic athletes make? And now we're going to disclude professional Olympic athletes. So I'm not talking about the NBA players that they're going to the Olympics or any other professional sport, tennis players, mm-hmm. professional tennis players that are already wealthy from their sport or soccer players. So there are some professional athletes that are going to the Olympics. We're not talking about them. We're talking about your track, you know, swimming, wrestling, all those weird sports, stuff like that.
Okay. So I think being, you know, like an amateur, what it takes just to be an amateur athlete is a huge sacrifice of time, money, family. It's a huge commitment. So my assumption is that Olympic athletes, especially in sports where they're not making a lot of money, is that's a huge sacrifice for them, is that they do sacrifice their time and money and potential careers in order to stay proficient at the sport. Because I can imagine if you're, let's say, a high-level, wrestler, you can't just go and stop wrestling for 3 years and then get back to it. You have to be wrestling at a high level, which means competing constantly. And there's not a lot of money in it.
Precious years of youth.
So my assumption is that, you know, part of the sacrifice is a real career in life.
Yep.
Until you're done with your kind of Olympic aspirations.
Okay. Well, yeah, you certainly hit on it. So I sort of wrote down a little list. Here are the big sacrifices that Olympic athletes make. So for those of you who are watching the Olympics, I want you guys to really think about this and what you get to enjoy and the sacrifices that they make. So first one is definitely financial. If you're training full time at a sport, it doesn't really allow you to work. Or if you do work, that's all you do. You have your job and then you have your training, and that's pretty much it. That's sort of almost another issue in and of itself. Great financial strain. Some athletes go into debt. They take out loans. They do what they have to do, borrow from family, do whatever they have to do. It's also a big debt on the stress on the family financially, yeah, of the athlete. Let's say it's a teenager who's doing gymnastics. They have to pay for their training, pay for their travel so much of the time. Then maybe they get subsidized a little bit and some of their travel and stuff is paid for. But it's a tremendous strain. And then it might hurt them financially in the future because they're not going to school. They're not creating a job for themselves. They're going to have spent much of their young adult life working at this sport only to come back to now have to completely start a new life. So financially, athletes really suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Socially, they have such dedication to their sport. They have little time for friends, making new friends, romantic relationships. Some of them that are already married, they mention issues with their husbands or wives. Kids, they don't get to see their kids. Sometimes kids or teenagers that are training are sort of put away at a training facility and basically taken away from their family. So it's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is obviously physical health, just the training for the sport, very intense. Many Olympians undergo surgeries or they have nagging injuries that stay with them. They're basically sacrificing their bodies to play whatever sport they're playing. And and just training hurts, wear and tear. It's like your body is not a machine. It's going to get injured. It's going to feel pain. And another sacrifice is just time in general. Could you imagine if you couldn't pursue any hobbies?
Well, it would suck, yeah.
And I know you've stuck to a super strict diet. What if you had to do that all year long?
Well, I think it depends on how singularly focused you are. I can imagine that if I was...
let's say, in order to compete at Olympic level, you have to be singularly focused.
It comes like a risk-reward. I think for some people, they are so singularly focused that it doesn't. They don't view it as a sacrifice because that's what they're doing. That's all they care about. No, that's not everybody, and I think it does come back
strain
at some
hits
point.
Them all.
But
they all
I don't
talk,
know.
Everyone talks about their sacrifices, I've done. That's
but
why people are
how
so
much
emotional
of that is just
when
what they
win.
Say. Like, just kind of
I think they
part
feel,
of the...
Like, why do you think people get so emotional when they win? Because all this hard work.
Well, yeah,
there's
effort.
Comes to fruition.
There's a significant amount of effort. But I'm just wondering, you know, if they're worried about what they're missing out on versus like they know that they have this goal and that it will stop at nothing to reach that goal.
Their goal outweighs that other stuff, but it doesn't mean that they're still not impacted by the fact that they can't have a social life, they can't pursue hobbies, they can't work a real job, they can't go to school, they can't do all the stuff that their entire life is dedicated to this one sport.
Yeah.
And so now, at that thought, let's talk about the gold at the end of the rainbow. So who are some Olympians, once again, not the professional athletes, that you think have made a lot of money? The ones that come to your head right away.
Usain Bolt,
yep. He's one of the richest in the world because he's got a bunch of endorsements.
Michael Phelps,
correct.
I don't know, the women's soccer team?
They're professional athletes.
Didn't they win?
They play, yes, so but okay, they're right.
Okay. I don't, so Jordan Burroughs?
You can't even think of it. You know him but you wouldn't really know him because he's a wrestler. You know, yeah. I told you about him. He's financially not that well off. He got paid a little bit.
So no, their money mostly, the ones that do make money, does it come from sponsorships or does it
endorsements.
Come from endorsements?
Yes. Okay, so now there's another guy named Kim Yuan from Korea who has a bunch of endorsements. And most recently, Simone Biles, who is a fantastic gymnast. Mm-hmm. She's starting to get in some endorsements. And, you know, there's some other swimmers that have done Katie Ledecky now is doing really well. So just so that you know, this is the payoff for a medal that the United States. Now remember, some countries actually pay huge, six figures for a medal. Some pay nothing. Like England pays nothing for a medal. Mm-hmm. So the United States, the United States Olympic Committee will pay $25,000 for a gold, $15,000 for silver, and $10,000 for a bronze. It's not very much money.
Not at all.
If you think about it. And some athletes will have their travel, some food, and some training, have that subsidized. That's it. So now, you mentioned Jordan Burroughs. He got paid by the, let's see what it was called. It was called the Living the Dream Medal Fund for wrestlers so that they could keep on wrestling.
And he's the best wrestler on the planet,
the
right?
Best of the best at his weight, yeah.
At his weight, he's the best of the best.
Freestyle wrestler, yeah.
Okay. And in the sport that's like synonymous with the Olympics, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that almost got kicked out of the Olympics, by the way. So he got paid $250,000.
Yeah.
And there was another wrestler, Varner, who also got paid $250,000 American for a gold medal. Mm-hmm. But now think about it. That's the best of the best. What about all the other athletes that finished 8th?
Yeah.
12th? They're Olympians.
Yeah.
They get nothing. They get to say they were Olympians. Now, some can leverage their job.
Yeah.
Or leverage their skill into coaching.
Yeah.
Right? Some can, you know, some can coach, some can teach, some
speaking.
You
I think you,
can
you
go.
All, and how many people can say they're Olympians? So I think that helps.
It helps
to some extent.
A little bit. They can, maybe can get a coaching job, which doesn't pay tons.
Yeah.
Some of them can go into broadcasting if you can speak, you're decent enough looking. Endorsements. Some have endorsements, for sure. But that's few and far between. I think there was 550 American athletes.
Okay.
550. Only a few, a handful, only a few, literally less than 10, are making millions. Mm-hmm. Right? a few are making the a few hundred thousand, you know, and most of them just go home.
Yeah.
And that's it, to say that they were an Olympian. Now here's the irony. Think about how much money NBC makes.
Billions? I don't know.
There's billions of dollars being thrown around. Mm-hmm. If you think about advertising, products, you know, obviously in Rio, ticket sales, all that stuff. It's big business. And it's the classic instance of the Olympians providing the product but getting the smallest amount of the pie. Now, another big thing
to tell you, kind of, I guess it's irony. It's like a lot of the athletes are getting screwed over a couple times, because think about how big college sports. So you got these guys
college sports are huge.
But and generate tons of money. They don't make any money off of it. And then, you know, they get the free ride. But especially when you look at like college football or basketball, which makes tons of money, and they don't get any.
Yeah, that's a whole discussion.
And then if you're good enough to go to the Olympics, you have the same thing happen again. Yep. Basically, you're putting in all the work. You get nothing out of it. That sucks.
So what would you think about this? That national pride is big, right? Especially for the United States. They want to look good. They always want to have. You know, we want to have the most medals, the most gold medals, the most champions. Shouldn't the U.S. and of course NBCU and the other company, all the companies that are providing, you know, the equipment and stuff like that, some of the sponsorships, shouldn't they all sort of get together, U.S. say, all right, we're going to pay more money, we're going to tax NBC, other companies more, and we're going to give that money to the Olympians that are giving us national pride, that are making NBC and all the other products. Now think about it. Tons of people watch the Olympics. So advertisers advertise their product and people buy the product. It's simple economics, right? Shouldn't something happen so that Olympians get paid a little more, get subsidized a little bit more for what they're doing?
I think something should happen. I don't know what that solution would be. I don't know what kind of a solution there would be.
Well, my solution would be that the U.S. has to pony up some more money for their athletes that are representing their country. Now, you can't do that from taxpayer money. Now, there are some grants, like we mentioned, that the Living the Dream Medal Fund. Now, it's funny. Now, a lot of Olympic athletes have GoFundMe pages.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a big thing. So they're reaching out to the public for support. That's sad.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That they have to reach out to the public for support. I think that the U.S. the government, along with the big companies, should sort of get together and find a way. Once again, it's coming out of the CEO's pockets, right?
Yeah.
Find a way to funnel some of that billions that they make, whether it's in advertising revenue, product sales, whatever it is, and just find a way to get some more money to these athletes. They should be subsidized for what they're doing.
I agree. I don't know how you do that. That works, and that, you know, I don't know. Not an economist, so I don't know what would work. But I think it's a fair statement that, you know, if you're a high level athlete, the level of commitment and sacrifice necessary is it's unrealistic and unfair to expect them to just kind of train for 4 years.
Sometimes more.
And sacrifice, you know, important aspects of their future to compete for the country and only to come away with nothing, so or very little.
And it's unfortunately, it happens. It's some Olympians, sadly enough, are even forced to sell their medals. Isn't that sad?
That sucks.
How do you think, I mean, that you could buy one on eBay. Where do you think they're coming from?
I don't know. You know, I had to 3D print some medals this week, but my wife needed it for her school thing, so I was going to do bronze because I have this bronze filament. I'm going to post some stuff on Instagram just of a fat/fit person that I did in bronze. It looks really cool. But then I just ended up printing it and spray painting it, printing regular and spray painting in gold. But yeah. So if anyone wants, if you want an Olympic medal, just see, shoot me an email.
You don't even have to earn one.
You don't need a real one. You can get a fake one from me.
Wouldn't that feel, I mean, could you ever consider buying?
Sure, why not?
An Olympic medal.
I mean, you're not. I'm not. Obviously,
it's an empty feeling. Your money.
Well, okay.
Or it's like the same with people that buy Super Bowl rings.
Well, okay. if you're buying it to, like, I could see buying it and displaying it as, you know, this is somebody's Olympic medal. I would make sure that, like, for me, if I were to buy someone's Olympic medal, I'd want to have the medal and have whose it was and what they did to get
sure.
it. I'd want to make it clear that it's not mine. I think there's a difference between that and, like, you know, buying it to claim you had it, or like buying like a ticket to like some important event or show just to like show people to make them. It's one thing if you're trying to mislead people into thinking like it's yours.
Well, people know that it's not yours, but it's sort of yours.
Yeah,
it's like you feel.
No,
what about the people
so.
that buy Super Bowl rings? Why would you buy a Super Bowl ring just to have one?
Sure, if you're a big fan,
if you're a big sport fan and you encase it as a special thing,
yeah.
You're a collector, I suppose.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I know
if you're a fan and collector,
that
I think
they just
yeah.
buy it because they want to have a Super Bowl ring.
That doesn't make any sense. Oh yeah, you gotta edit that out.
Okay.
Actually, yeah, you know, you seriously have to edit that out because otherwise they will stop playing us in India. I think what countries like don't allow explicit. So
now isn't that bizarre about India?
Why?
That India has very few Olympians and very few medalists.
Do they?
Very, very few. They are the weakest Olympic country.
Is that true?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You're not just pulling that
no, I looked it up. Okay. It's true. And if you think about it, how many Olympic athletes do you see from India?
I don't know.
I've been watching it.
I haven't
seen one yet.
Okay.
Their strongest sport, I believe, is cricket.
Okay.
Which I don't think that's an Olympic sport. They have a couple good wrestlers. There was an Olympic wrestler from India that won. And then, of course, a few other things, maybe some swimming stuff here or there. It's crazy. Sports just aren't important in that country. They're the second biggest country in the world, population-wise,
yeah.
right? And they have the fewest Olympic athletes, fewest winners. It's absolutely crazy.
Any reason why? Did you read about why?
Sports just don't play an important role. They don't care.
Okay.
That's sort of the big thing. They don't have sports programs for youths to develop sports the same way they do, which even more goes into sort of what we're talking about. If you're going to develop youth, if you're going to develop athletes to represent your country, like in the United States, to make us look good, to say, look at how strong we are, we have the best athletes, you got to do something. You got to pay them better. You got to treat them better, not just the ones that win you the gold medals. You got to take care of them. They're, you know, it's important. You know, it's a statement of national pride. So that's personally what I think.
Oh, I guess
I don't know how you do it, but
yeah. Well, I guess unless we stop producing great athletes,
I don't know if that
will change.
It's big business in our country, and it's a big thing. We're not going to stop creating great athletes.
So I don't know that will change much over time until.
So,
yeah, because it's like you kind of maintain status quo until there's something to.
Although it's going to change very soon with the NCAA.
Why do you think? Why?
The NCAA.
You think so?
I'm positive.
Is it?
It's coming to a head. There's been a lot of issues.
Yeah.
Huh. And it's 100% unfair in college basketball and football that athletes can make billions of dollars, which it is a billion-dollar industry, and not make any of that money. And a free ride is nice to college.
Yeah.
And yes, they're being given an opportunity,
but
in no other thing, nothing else in the world, where you can generate revenue yet not be able to get it.
Yeah,
if you have a skill that can generate revenue in almost any situation, you can say, well, guess what? I won't play.
Yeah.
And you won't make the revenue. And everyone would say, no, we'll give you revenue. We're happy to pay you because you generate revenue for us.
Yeah.
But in the NCAA, the system is so skewed. Now, maybe of no one's fault, because who knew that basketball? No one knew in the 40s or 30s, you know, that basketball was going to be a tremendous revenue.
So then it comes down to, again, I haven't really studied this subject, but I guess there are questions of fairness. Like, do you only pay the athletes in the sports that are making money? Does that get split amongst all your athletes? How do you divide it among genders?
That's a good question. Well, unfortunately, the teams that make the money should get the money. That's capitalism. It's only fair.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you don't generate revenue, I'm sorry. It is a little biased in that way, but it's not biased because it's completely merit based. People buy tickets to the events because they want to see them. They buy merchandise. Mm-hmm. They buy jerseys. Like, isn't that ridiculous? You sell a college jersey of your own. You're the player, but you don't get any of the money. I mean, that's an absurd concept. Yeah. So that has to change, and that will change. But it's almost a discussion for another time.
Yes, it is a discussion for another time. All right. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to get off your chest?
Well, we'd just like to hear what you guys think. Do you think that, and I know that we have listeners from all over the world. What do you guys think? Do you think that Olympic athletes, maybe the country that you come from, do they treat their athletes better? From maybe where you come from, they should treat them better. We'd love to hear about it. If you're in the United States, do you think that there should be some way that we subsidize our athletes better? What do you guys think? So let us know. Download the app.
Or rate us on iTunes. And that's it. Awesome. So all our stuff is at thegymwits.com.
Great.
All right. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Gymwits.